Welcome to this year's Huntsville Bible Students Convention. The convention theme text is found in 1 Peter 5:6. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. As we begin, please open your hymn book to number 127, Wayworn Pilgrim. And on the last verse, let us stand, and Brother John Hasty will open us in prayer.
Gracious Heavenly Father, we wish to thank Thee for the privilege we have of gathering ourselves together at convention. We pray that Thou be with Brother Dan as he serves us in this session. and be with all of our brethren, that we might gain a blessing. Bless our fellowship together, and forgive us for all of our many weaknesses. We'll give thee the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Lord John. We're thankful tonight to have Brother Dan Larson from Chicago to be our guest speaker. Brother Dan's topic tonight is a hug from above.
Brother Dan. Thank you, Brother Larry. First of all, I want to, you know, say it's a real privilege for Sister Linda and myself to be in Huntsville again. It's been too long since we've been down at Huntsville, and we have missed you, brethren, and we do bring the love and greetings of your brethren in Chicago. They wish their love brought to all of you down here in the Southland, and we're happy to be down here. A hug from above. You know, brethren, we are living in a day when every imaginable thing of evil is besieging us from every side. The Christian today finds himself in a wilderness where the water of truth is seldom found. The world allures us with its pride, arrogance, and the pursuit of pleasure. We are distracted by the needs and the wants and sometimes unreasonable demands of co-workers, neighbors, friends, and yes, even our families. Jobs have overflowed into what used to be our free time and time to be devoted to the Lord, and to commute, and the commute gets longer and longer as days go by. Satan has also seduced us into thinking that bad is good and good is bad, and then leaves us no time to contemplate the principles and to be able to sort them out again. He is always turning himself into an angel of light, and we are deceived. We have been in the way of consecration for years, and we have become tired. Or, on the other side, where we are newly consecrated and haven't yet learned to be able to apply the principles of sacrifice to every daily moment, and we are overwhelmed also. You know what we need, brethren? We need a hug. We need a good bear hug from our Heavenly Father. And you know what? The Lord is not faithless to provide one. And so we aren't going to study anything that is new and dazzling today. We're just going to review that old, old story and take a few minutes to focus in on the warmth of our Heavenly Father's love for each and every one of us. And with that, let's turn to Psalms, the 84th chapter. Psalms 84. And we'll be using the New American Standard Translation. The chapter is broken down into three sections. First, verses 1 through 4. And second, in verses 5 through 8. And third, verses 9 through 12. So, brethren, let's close our eyes to the woes that are outside in the world today, and let us dwell in our heavenly home for the remainder of our time this evening. Let's read verses 1 through 4. Verses 1 through 4. How lovely are thy dwelling places, O Lord of hosts. My soul longed and even yearned for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh sing for joy to the living God. The bird also has found a whole house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young, even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King, my God. How blessed are those who dwell in thy house. They are ever praising thee, Selah. Let's go back to verse 1 and look more closely at it to glean some of the blessings from it. You know, every soul who hungers and thirsts after righteousness longs to be separated from the evil of this present day and to enter that joyful and pleasant state where, under God's promised kingdom, all things in heaven and earth will praise Him and have communion with Him, just as Adam had back in the Garden of Eden before his disobedience and his fall from favor. Contrast this longing with the status of the Christian who has made a consecration to come into his family and to have become his tabernacle, and yes, God's personal dwelling place. Just as Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 6:16-18, in part, when he says, We are the temple of the living God. Just as God said, I will dwell in them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from amongst their midst and be separate, says the Lord, and do not touch what is unclean, and I will welcome you. And I will be a father to you, and you shall be sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty. As we become one temple, indwelt with the Spirit of truth, we become beautiful and lovely and amiable in the eyes of all those who are of the same mind and have the same spirit, and may now have true fellowship with Him through each other. And that's why we have assembled here today, brethren, so that we can be a blessing to one another and we can learn of the Lord from one another. Such are not the temples or tabernacles individually, but the church of Christ as a whole is made up of living stones in one great temple of the future, with Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone. Brethren, we are being developed, fitted, polished, proved, selected for positions in that future glorious temple of God. Not only are we functioning now as living stones, but if faithful, these glorious courts and dwelling places of heaven will be our home, and we will be living in the immediate presence of Jehovah God. Can you imagine that, brethren? Jehovah God Himself. And this is what He has promised us. And not only with Jehovah, but with His precious Son, Jesus, who is our ever-present helper in time of need. For we shall be like Him, and we shall see Him as He is, as 1 John 3:2 brings out. Oh, how our hearts cry out for it and take comfort in it. Let us sing for joy to our living God. Returning back to Psalms 84, verse 3, when it says, the bird has found a house, and the swallow a nest for herself, even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King, my God. The common version, and here in the New American Standard, it almost gives the inference that the sparrows and the swallows, that they build their nests in the altars of the tabernacle and the temple. But we know and those who that are familiar with the care and the diligence with which the priests carried out their duties know that they would not allow the birds to literally build nests and thus desecrate the holy places. We find that Lieser's translation is much better, and it reads as thus, "Even as the sparrow hath found a house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young, so have I found thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King, my God." The rest and the peace that the saints find in the two altars are here brought to our attention. The altar in the court, the brazen altar, speaks of the great sacrifice for sins that Jesus did on our behalf when he became our great high priest. And then the golden altar in the holy speaks not only of the Lord's overcoming and his acceptableness to God, but also our acceptableness as joint sacrificers with him, acceptable through the merit of his sin offering before and on our behalf. 1 Corinthians 10, 16 and 17 says, 1 Corinthians 10, 16 and 17, a very familiar scripture to us, "Is not the cup of blessing which we bless a sharing in the blood of Christ? Is not the bread which we break a sharing in the body of Christ? Since there is one bread, we who are many are the one body, for we all partake of the one bread." Going back to Psalms 84, verse 4, declares the joy of all those who now and shall ever enjoy a place in the Father's house, when he says, "How blessed are those who dwell in thy house. They are ever praising thee, Selah." We are now dwelling there, and we can meditate and pray on such passages as Psalms, the 121st chapter, in verses 1 through 4, Psalms 121, 1 through 4. "I will lift up mine eyes to the mountains, from whence cometh my help. My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to slip. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither sleep nor slumber." We are still in darkness, even though the great day of the Lord has come and has begun. And you know, the darkness is the darkest just before the dawn. But we are not left alone in the night. God is not asleep. God is not asleep. And so we can rest confidently in his dwelling. How good it is to not just academically and to theorize, but to literally visualize these truths. Visualize them and take them to heart and keep them as a present help in time of need. They are not fantasies or imaginations, but they're literal facts. Know and believe them, and take comfort in the truth of them. Verses 5 through 7, going back to Psalms 84. "How blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, And Psalms 91:15 adds, "He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble, and I will deliver him and honor him." And continuing along the same vein, Psalms 46:1, very familiar scripture to us. "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble." Brother Russell, in the April 9th manna, says, "Brethren, it is always our privilege to carry our sorrows and our vexations to the Lord, for He knows how to steal the bitter from life's woes. He does it by showing through experience the vanity of all earthly things and their utter inability to satisfy the soul's cravings or to comfort the wounded spirit." Then comes the thought, however vexing our experiences, you know what? They'll soon be over. No matter how long they are vexing us today, they will be over. They will end. And if we permit them to do so, they will not only work out for us peaceable fruits of righteousness, but they will develop in us strong and noble characters, discipline through self-control, thoughtful consideration, patient endurance of affliction, and loving loyalty and faithfulness and trust in God that He will deliver us, and in whose hearts are the highways to Zion. He marks the Christian's journey from consecration until he is finally triumphant in his heavenly home, just as we sung in our opening hymn. There's only one thing that we need to remember, though, that it is our new creature who receives the help, and not necessarily our human flesh. And at times, the interest of the new creature is in opposition to the interests of the flesh. But you know what? The Lord is cognizant of our total well-being, and at times the comforts of the flesh must be waived in order that the new creature might prosper. Often, natural prosperity is a definite deterrent to the new creature. Just as Jesus warned us in Matthew 19:23 when he said, "Truly I say unto you, it is hard for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven." Returning back to Psalms 84, verse 6. "Passing through the valley of Baca, they make it a spring. The early rain also covers it with blessings." The valley of Baca is a valley of mourning and tears, and it represents the present time of conflict and disappointment. Or in other words, the valley of the shadow of death, in which nevertheless the holy ones of God may sing for joy and rejoice forevermore. For passing through the valley of weeping, they can change it into a spring by recognizing it for what it is. A rain bringing a covering of blessings. You know, the most dreary place and condition can be made cheerful and endurable by the presence of those in whom God dwells by His Spirit of truth and of love. And not only is it blessed to such themselves, but it can be blessed to all those who come in contact with them, that they may receive a blessing as well. The early rain here represents the Pentecostal blessings in AD 33. And the latter rain will be the outpouring of the millennial blessings, which we are beginning to be refreshed with even today, and which will eventually reach not only ourselves, but eventually will cover the earth as the waters cover the deep. And the whole earth will be filled with His power and great glory. Verse 7. They go from strength to strength. Every one of them appears before God in Zion. In this verse, we are shown that the Christian walk is a progressive one, and it is one of growth, as illustrated in 2 Peter, chapter 1, verses 5 through 7. 2 Peter 1, 5 through 7. Now, for this very reason also, applying all diligence to your faith, supply moral excellence, and to your moral excellence, knowledge, and to your knowledge, self-control, and to your self-control, perseverance, and to your perseverance, godliness, and to your godliness, brotherly kindness, and to your brotherly kindness, agape love, agape love, God-like love. Brethren, we must continue to sharpen these attributes as we wend our way to the top of the mountain. For if we do, we shall not fall short of our goal, and we will overtop the mountain. Let us always keep thinking on things above and thus dwell in the heavens. The seventh verse is also picturing how the Christian walk is an individual one and not a collective one. Notice how many scriptures speak to us as individual Christians. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give you a crown of life, Revelation 2:10. Take my yoke upon you. The Lord is my shepherd. And yet, even as individuals, we are never really alone. Why? I will never leave you nor forsake you. The Lord is always with us. We can be isolated, we can be totally alone in this present evil world, but we're not alone from our Heavenly Father. He is always with us, and not only our Lord, but then our Jesus is always with us either. He will never leave us nor forsake us. Verse 8, Psalms 84. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob, Selah. In this verse, we are reminded of our vital lifeline to our Heavenly Father. We can bring our petitions to Him, having His assurance that He hears them and that He listens to them, and He will act upon them for our highest welfare. We have much consolation in Hebrews, the 4th chapter, and verses 4 through 16. Hebrews 4, 4 to 16. Where the Apostle Paul says, since then we have a great high priest who has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession, for we do not have an high priest who cannot be touched with and who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses. but one who has been tempted in all things, like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly and draw near through prayer with confidence to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Jesus himself told us, you remember, come unto me, all you who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. Matthew 11, 28 and 29. Oh, brethren, how could we not run into the arms of such an Abba Father as a child runs to his parent when he needs comfort? How could we not lean on the strong shoulder of such an older brother whose desire is our own joy and unity with him? So brethren, pray. Pray in the morning when you awaken. Pray as you go to work or to school, and aloud if possible and practical. Pray in song as you do your household chores. Pray in praise in the stolen moments throughout the day. Pray in thanksgiving and repentance when the day is over and done. And pray in the night watches when sleep evades you. Spend as much time with your most beloved Lord as you possibly can during the day. Psalms 84, verses 10 through 12. These verses finish out the chapter, and they read, behold our shield, O God, and look upon the face of thine anointed, for a day in thy courts is better than a thousand outside. I would rather stand at the threshold of the house of God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord gives grace and glory. No good thing does he withhold from those who walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, how blessed is the man who trusts in thee. Behold our shield. Behold our shield. Our shield is brought to our attention in the Apostle's description of the Christian's armor, found in Ephesians, the 6th chapter, in verses 10 through 17. We're all familiar with it. Let's just focus in on verse 16, which reads, in addition to all, as the previously mentioned armor, taking the shield of faith with you, and you will be able to extinguish all of the flaming missiles of the evil one. It is faith. It is faith that will protect you from Satan's daily attacks. Our faith is described in Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11, verse 1 and verse 6. And I'm going to read it to you from the Weymouth translation, because I think it gives it the best meaning that I have found. Hebrews 11, 1 and verse 6. Now faith is the confident assurance for that which we hope. Now faith is the confident assurance of that which we hope, and a conviction of the reality of the things which we do not see. Where there is not faith, it is impossible to truly please Him. For the man who draws near to God first must believe that there is a God, and that if there is a God, and that He proves Himself a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Brethren, if our faith is strong, just like Matthew 17:20 says, we will be able to move mountains. And don't our troubles sometimes feel like mountains, which are so tall that we can't climb them? You know, what does the scripture says? If our faith is strong, we will be able to move mountains. And with the Lord's help, all things are possible. And with the right perspective, all things work together for what? For our good. If we love our God supremely and render unto Him our allegiance, then we who have been anointed with the Holy Spirit will see the smile and the approval of our Heavenly Father, just as we literally saw the smile of approval from our earthly parents when we were obedient to their wishes, even when we might not have understood why they told us to do them. And isn't that just the way with our Heavenly Father sometimes? We may not understand why there's this experience we're going through, but it's the Lord who has allowed this experience to come upon them. Even when we might not have understood their meaning. Back to our Psalms, 84, verse 10. In the 10th verse, we are represented as waiting during this present life for admission into our Father's house, and having here no rest or resting place. Yet even here, to such we are assured that the Lord God is our sun and a shield. And yet through Christ, He is also our shield. I doubt that any of us has not felt the special pleasantness of the sunlight from this spring. And on those days which we have waited for through the long, dreary winter months, and when the spring days finally come, what a joy. But then we come into summer, and we forget, nor can we forget those times that the same sun that was so warm and bright and sunny beats down on us mercilessly, temperatures soaring, and we've sought shade for relief. As our sun, He enlightens us and fills us with a sense of His greatness and perfection. But as we realize just how perfect He is and how perfect His law is, what do we feel? We feel our imperfections of our own weaknesses, and we realize that it really would be a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. It is then that He reveals to us the protection, the relief He has provided because of our present weaknesses of the flesh through the merit of our Savior, Christ Jesus, which is freely imputed upon us as we are willing to accept it as our covering. Brethren, as long as we strive against these weaknesses of the flesh and ask forgiveness for them through Christ, when we do fail, and we do fail, our fallen flesh is covered, and our sins are not counted against us. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord that they're not. We can also look at this verse, that is verse 10, from another perspective. The King James Version reads, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. You know, the world offers to the Christian the allurements of wealth and prestige in this present life. And who can say that they could not, if they could not attain it, and if we were to put on the same energies into it as we do in our Christian walk? But what a price would we pay in leaving some of our Christian principles behind? Because that's the only way you're going to get ahead in this world, is by leaving some of your Christian principles behind. The worldly want our time and our talent to be dedicated to whatever pursuits they are in. Businesses today seem to want more and more of our time and energy, which leaves us less time and less energy for the Lord and His service. And sometimes it is necessary for us to make choices. And you know, this verse helps. Because the picture that this verse portrays in my mind is the contrast between a doorman and a resident of a luxurious hotel such as we have here, only with the having servants to wait on him. But you know, when it says a doorkeeper in the house of the God, where is that? That doorkeeper is in heaven. And even the lowest position in heaven far surpasses anything that is in this earth. Dear Brother Morehouse once offered the following illustration, and I'd like to do it right now. I'd like to have everybody in the audience close your eyes. Close your eyes and think for a moment of the most beautiful place you have ever seen on this earth. Close your eyes and think of the most beautiful place that you've ever seen on this earth. Is everybody enjoying that vision? Heaven's better. Heaven's better. The message that this conveys to me is that whatever we sacrifice here today cannot compare to what is in store for us if we prove faithful to our covenant. Verse 11 continues, and it says, the Lord gives grace and glory. No good thing does He withhold from those who walk uprightly. Even in this life, the Lord is gracious and loving as any earthly parent is loving and gracious to their children. He provides for all of our needs. All of our needs as the growth of the new creature. That's the needs that He provides. Just as any earthly parent provides for their children's physical needs, our Lord provides for our new creature needs. And just as wise parents know that it is not good for the child to indulge them in their every whim. And so, you know what? Our Heavenly Father sees to us also. Sometimes He sees that it is not for our good to give us all of our desires, even though we may believe that it's in our best interests, and even when we believe that it may be for His service. We remember the Apostle Paul. Remember when he wanted to go into Asia to preach? The passage is found in Acts, the 16th chapter, verses 6 through 10. And as they passed through Phrygian and the Galilean region, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia, and when they had come to Mysia, they were trying to go into Bithynia, and the Spirit of Jesus, or the Holy Spirit, did not permit them. And so passing on to Mysia, they came to Troas, and it was here that the night vision appeared to Paul, the Apostle Paul, in the night. And the vision was a certain man from Macedonia was standing and appealing to him, saying, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." And when he, that is Paul, had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go into Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. We see here that Paul thought it would be the best to go into Asia. And so he even tried. He tried to go into Asia to preach, but he couldn't, as all the doors were closed to him. And we see that God knew that it would be better for him to preach to Macedonia and the West. And you know, it's interesting to note that the first place that he went to in Macedonia was Philippi. And there began his blessed relationship with the brethren there. And so we see that the Lord knew best. The Lord knew that his experiences would be best in that direction. And so also with ours, brethren. Let us lean upon the Lord. We only have to wait, and the Lord will direct the issues. O Lord of hosts, how blessed is the man who trusts in Thee. We see that our trust will be rewarded if we remain faithful to our covenant of sacrifice and make straight paths for our feet, not deviating to the right or not deviating to the left. My brethren, my hope is that we may build upon the principles of this 84th Psalm, that we might have our minds and our hearts to dwell upon things above. And let's close with one of my favorite psalms, and that is Psalms 100. Psalms 100. Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful singing. Know that the Lord Himself is God. It is He who made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him. Bless His name, for the Lord is good. His loving kindness is everlasting, and His faithfulness is to all generations. And may the Lord add His blessing.
Thank you, Brother Dan, for those inspiring words. For our closing hymn, Brother Dan has chosen Blessed Assurance, number 342 in a blue book, number 347 in a red book.
Almighty Father, Creator of heaven and earth, we are so very thankful that Thou hast allowed us this privilege to come into Thy presence, knowing that Thou hast heard us and that Thou hears our every thought, word, or action. Dear Heavenly Father, Thou knowest our frames, for we are weak in ourselves. But through our Master we are strong, and we can overcome to the best of our ability. And we lean upon our Master's strength and His forgiveness and His merit on our behalf as we come before Thee. We remember not only ourselves assembled here, but we do remember all Thy dear ones the world over. Strengthen each heart as Thou knowest best. Strengthen those who are isolated, those who would have liked to have been here, but were unable because of sickness or sorrow or circumstances above and beyond our own. Dear Heavenly Father, strengthen and guide and direct each one. Be especially with those who are bereaved, that they might feel Thy strength and comfort. As Thou hast promised Thou would be with us, we do lay hold on Thy precious promises always. And we do ask for forgiveness of our many sins and shortcomings, and we ask that if anything has either been said or done amiss, that it would be overruled for our highest welfare. And we do long for and do pray for Thy full speedy establishment of Thy kingdom here upon the earth, that Thy will might be done on earth as is done in heaven, and the whole world might know thee and love thee as we know thee and love thee now. We leave ourselves and the remainder of this convention to thy hands and to thy care and keeping, asking it through the merit of Jesus Christ, our returned Lord. Amen.